across the ASEAN, only on Money FM 89.3.
It's been a meaningful last couple of days for the aviation sector here across the ASEAN, and not only because Singapore has officially opened their visitor travel lane with Germany, the first flight actually arriving today, but also because Asia's oldest airline had to file for bankruptcy protection out in the Philippines. Philippine Airlines, which was founded in 1941, filed for bankruptcy protection in U.S. courts and thus also raised growing uncertainties about whether or not airlines in the region can actually withstand the prolonged and uncertain effects of the COVID-19 pandemic on their business outlooks. Today on Across the ASEAN, it's worth taking a temperature check of the overall health of the Asian aviation space because of these two notable events. Today, we are joined by Shukur Yusuf, who's the founder of Endow Analytics, to help us discuss a lot of the latest developments and big developments in the aviation space here in the Southeast Asian region. Shukur, thank you so much for joining us today. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are safe and in good health during these times. And welcome back to the show, sir. Hope you're having a good Wednesday.
Thanks, JP.
All right. So, Shukur, you know, as we mentioned, it's one of the first major airlines in the region to have given in and decided to go the way of Chapter 11, filing for bankruptcy protection. And it's also arguably the oldest airline in the Asia-Pacific region, if you don't count Qantas in Australia. And to think just 3 years ago, Philippine Airlines had dreams of expanding long-haul flights and even reaching for five-star status. How big a fall is this for Philippine Airlines, indeed?
It's not a big fall in the scheme of things. I mean, in the Philippines, you have other airlines, including Cebu Pacific, which is the low-cost carrier of that country. But, you know, for Philippine Airlines to file for Chapter 11, this was, you know, we could all see it coming. They never really had a strong balance sheet to begin with for the last 20 years. This isn't the first time that the airline has gone into some sort of rehabilitation or restructuring almost 20 years ago, and then in between they had some sort of restructuring and reorganizing of themselves. So this is just another one of those things where national airlines, not just in the Philippines but across the region and indeed the world, where governments are propping them up, and it's distorting somewhat the landscape for airlines.
Mm-hmm. You know, PAL's management, or Philippine Airlines' management, has vowed that they will lift themselves out of bankruptcy in a matter of months. What do you think, Shukur, will it take to do that? And how much different might they actually look if they have to shrink and actually see their size decline after years of steady expansion?
Well, we've had that one before. I mean, PAL's management, different managements have said different things. They'll do this, do that. We've heard this countless number of times, and clearly this airline hasn't been very sustainable for a long time. And what will it take for them to do that? A lot. I think, one, they need to redo themselves from the ground up. And going into Chapter 11, it's going to put off the lessors and the creditors for the time being, and then they'll come back again. And this is the same story for many airlines in North America. Japan Airlines also sought to go for bankruptcy. But for PAL, I think it's a flag carrier. I think there's very little political will to see it go under, and so it will continue. I have no doubt about that. The only thing that you know, I must highlight that COVID-19 is not the main determinant of an airline's failure. I mean, a lot have been said, oh, we're under COVID crisis, this and that, because airlines are blaming them. But a lot of these airlines, not just Philippine Airlines, but many airlines in ASEAN, for example, have been in trouble before COVID. So this only exacerbated the position.
Mm-hmm. Now, the big question, of course, with Philippine Airlines filing for Chapter 11 is, could we see other major airlines across the ASEAN follow suit, Shukur? Based on what you're seeing, and could you give us a temperature check of what the risks are for other airlines like, say, Garuda or Thai Airways to fall that way? We know Thai Airways is undergoing a restructuring process as well. Who do you think might be next or might be at risk of following suit?
None of them. I think they're all in trouble, with the exception of Singapore Airlines, which is probably one of the better run companies, airlines in the world. But that apart, the rest of them are just basket cases who've been going on for the longest time. You look at Garuda, There's no doubt it's in it's looking very grim. It's in trouble, but eventually the government will find ways and means to prop it up. Similarly for Thai Airways, so there is a great reluctance for governments to allow their national carriers to die naturally because mm-hmm. of pride, number one, and because they give some lame excuse that it's for trade and so on and so forth. You have the example of Malaysia Airlines, which have been losing money for the last 20 years, in excess of 30 billion ringgit, for example. And yet they're receiving taxpayers' funds to continue that debacle. So I have no doubt whatsoever that there is no danger whatsoever of these national carriers being resuscitated. I mean, governments have a bad habit in this part of the world of propping up carriers longer than they should do.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I'd like to revisit now the budget airline space. Now, we've talked about in the past about how budget airlines like Cebu Pacific and Air Asia might actually be on better footing and actually operate in a rather disciplined fashion. But as we know, they do face more competitive pricing pressures, for instance, and also have more limited routes compared to some of these bigger mainstream carriers. Why do you think the budget airlines, at least on the surface, might be responding better to some of these bankruptcies? Pressures, or do you think it's just a matter of time before they too start to hear the toll of Chapter 11?
No, I think the low-cost carriers have fiscal discipline, and many of them are very well managed. You look at Cebu Pacific, which is part of the JG Summit Group, has always been a very well-run conglomerate. The management is great. They're very well focused. And by virtue of being private, they're not taking taxpayers' money or money from the government, so they're under more pressure to produce results. And similarly, you can see the same for AirAsia. You can see Lion Air in Indonesia, for example. So wherever you look at in this part of the world, the discount carriers are doing much better mm-hmm. than national airlines, primarily because they have to survive and there's very little room for error.
All right. We're speaking to Shukor Yusuf, the founder of Endow Analytics here on Across the ASEAN, taking a temperature check of the aviation and airline industry across the Southeast Asian region. As we know, Shukor, the other big thing, especially here in Singapore, is the official reopening of some travel lanes of the first flight from Germany landing here, SQ325, I believe. But overall, how big of a deal is this actually for Singapore Airlines, which is thirsty to reopen at least or restart international travel? As we know, there's not a big domestic market for it to fall back on. How big of a deal really is this reopening?
That's quite insignificant, unfortunately. But it's good because it keeps morale up and it keeps the Singapore Airlines flying some of its aircraft and some of its crews are also in need of continuous flying and work. But it's still some way before Singapore Airlines can get up back to where it was before, pre-COVID. It very much depends on international long-haul flights, so that's a risk also for them as the pandemic continues and we're now seeing higher cases in Singapore. But at some point, you need to reopen, mm-hmm. given that you take into account the health protocols that are in place and all that. And I'm very, very certain the authorities are looking at how best to balance risk and the opportunity to open up to travelers, mm-hmm. especially Singapore being a very, very huge air hub in this part of the world.
Yeah, Shukor, it was highlighted before that Singapore Airlines has spent a bit more to retain pilots and staff during this uncertain pandemic. And some actually are arguing that this will put them on a better standing once travel resumes and could put them in a position to really bounce back once things reopen. But we've seen more questions cast now about the global reopening and resumption of airline travel. Given all of this, do you agree with the fact that that the move to try and spend more to retain pilots and staff was actually a good move for Singapore Airlines looking back?
I think they have a duty. Management has a duty to preserve staff because Singapore Airlines, it's very dependent on good quality, skillful set of employees, and they have that in abundance. But with the arrival of the pandemic, with COVID, you need to reassess whether 2, 3, 4 years down the road, whether these people will still be needed in facing a new landscape, which will change considerably once COVID is done and dusted, if it's done and dusted. But again, so that's something that management has to carefully evaluate. And because you know, you're dealing with people's livelihood here. And once, if it does improve and, you know, we're back to what it was before, then you will need these people. But if not, then they will be seen to be excessive. Mm-hmm. So it's very dynamic, and I wish them well.
But if things remain uncertain in terms of the global reopening, especially given Singapore Airlines is so reliant on international travelers compared to other carriers, does that mean that the cash burns that everyone's struggling to try and control might remain a big question mark on their financials long term?
I think the cash flow remains fluid. But the good news for Singapore Airlines is it's very well preserved. It's well backed by Temasek, and the government has given an undertaking to see through this crisis, so that's great news for investors. But at the same time, I mean, if it goes on indefinitely, 2, 3, 4, maybe longer than that years, and then you'll have to stop and say, you know, how far can we take all this? And, you know, should we review, look at our cash flow, look at our balance sheet, and what we can do better with the money that's being spent? But we haven't reached there yet. I think they can manage the cash burn for the next 18 months to 2 years at least. So hopefully things will improve by then. I think it will, but it will take time. And unfortunately, we're at the mercy of this virus for now.
All right. Shukor Yusuf, founder of Endo Analytics, thank you so much for taking some time out of your day to join us on Across the ASEAN to take stock of the state of airlines here in the Southeast Asian region. As always, I wish you and your loved ones continued health and safety during these times. We look forward to next time we can have you back on the show. Have a great afternoon ahead, sir.
You too, JP.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.